Welcome to University Matters. This is Patricia Camilleri, Director of Communications and Alumni Relations here at the University of Malta. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research projects, their international networks, about their aims and aspirations. I shall also be hearing from staff and students and visitors to campus about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. I'm very glad to have with me today in the studio representatives of a delegation of Indian Principals of Schools, which is currently visiting Malta. So I'd like to welcome Mr. Ashok Pandey, who is leader of the delegation, Ms. Megha Srivastav, who is the university's marketing officer for the Indian region, and also Ms. Annika Loos, who is deputy director of the university's international and EU office. Welcome to you all. The University of Malta has organized this visit together with the High Commission for Malta in India, and they really wanted to send this, to organize this high profile education delegation, which is now here. We're about, about 10, 12 people, something like
12.
That. 12 people. And they're a group, as I said, of high school principals from the New Delhi area. And this has been possible following contacts established and developed by the High Commissioner on behalf of the University of Malta with a number of private high schools, colleges and universities in the Delhi, New Delhi area and beyond. So I'm looking forward to hearing about this India contact, this Indian initiative. And perhaps before we talk to our guests, Indian guests, perhaps, Anna, you could give us a little bit of background about the objectives of the delegation, the objectives of the whole idea of bringing them here, really.
India's up and coming in the world in various areas, and education is one of them too. We have a very enterprising High Commissioner located in Delhi, who's been there for a number of years now, and he set up the High Commission there and has been working on improving Malta's profile, actually introducing it to the Indian community, because many Indians are not aware that Malta exists. So he's been highlighting Malta and all our assets, and the university was one of them. And along with Wilfred Kennelly, we got working on establishing a stronger Malta-India connection with regards to university and our presence over there. So a few years ago, my colleague Stefania Fabri, the director of the office, and I went to a fair, and it was a European higher education fair in Delhi, and we were there for a number of days promoting University of Malta, giving brief geography lessons about our location and a bit of our history, and then introducing students and their parents to our education system and what we can offer. We share many commonalities with India with regards to education. We were both under British rule and have inherited their part of their education system, so we can really relate well education wise. In India, as in Malta, education is of high quality, and that way when a student applies to come and study at the University of Malta, we can recognize their qualifications quite well, and that's good for us and for the student. Since the fair, then, we sat down, put our head together and planned. And in fact, we employed a marketing officer over there, and that's Megha, who's here with the delegation. And it's been the High Commissioner herself and Mr. Pandey working hard on getting this group of representatives together. The idea is to introduce them to the University of Malta, Malta itself, and also, as they saw last night, part of the Indian community on the island. There's a great respect for Indians in Malta. They have very high esteemed profiles and jobs, and they've done very well for themselves and integrated very well in Malta. And they are not only respected, but they're also very nice to work with. They were very welcoming yesterday at the temple, and I think everyone had a brilliant time. And they have that kind of approach to all students who come over. We don't have huge amounts right now, but we do have students in postgraduate level to coming over. One of them was even given an Erasmus Mundus scholarship to come and study here, which is a very high profile scholarship, and they are always open to helping them to settle, pointing out where they can buy food from, little things like that to make their life easy. So that is what we're trying to establish, a stronger connection, because there has been a very respectful connection, but it's been small, and this way we can improve it.
Mr. Pandya, perhaps now you can give us sort of the other side of the coin.
Yes.
What about your ideas about coming to Malta?
Yes, yes. I think I must start first by thanking the University of Malta, and of course thanking back home the High Commissioner. I know these two groups and their efforts have really brought about this kind of visit. And Megha's role is always very, very high out there. What has happened is, as very rightly Anna has pointed out, that India, a lot of excitement is there in India in almost every field. And education is, of course, one of them. In the last 10 years, the entire educational profile of India has changed, and changed for better, and has changed many times higher than in the previous 20, 30 years. You might have heard that with the new government at the center in New Delhi, and with a new, very, very dynamic education minister, a lot of changes in educational scene are taking place. Two, three very priority areas are there, and one of them is that every child in India must be educated. And to that extent, a new bill has been passed in the parliament, which is called Right to Education Bill, which is one of the pioneering and which is one of the very, very revolutionary bills, where every child's right between the ages 6 to 14 years is ensured by an act of parliament. So that is one thing. The second thing is, at the operational level, we have done away with the public examination at class 10. Which used to be a very, very serious thing in the life of a child who was just about 14, 15 years old. And now our first public examination will take place only at the end of the secondary level, which we call plus 2 or plus 12. We have very many number of good colleges, universities, medical colleges, engineering colleges, but they are not enough in number. And with the universalization of primary education in India at all-time high, and with doing away of the class 10 board examination at the first level, the entry level in the colleges will be augmented by many, many thousand students more, which means we need more colleges and more institutions and so on and so forth. In the minds of Indian parents and students, destination abroad for their education has always been very, very high. And almost every country who can market their education and who can convince that we are offering quality education and we are offering quality life, we are offering safe and secure environment for an Indian student, has been a very, very popular, liked destination of education. And that is why some of the European countries, America, Australia, New Zealand, these are the countries which have been in the forefront. But some of the lesser-known countries as well have been pitching their educational sector among the Indian students and parents in a very, very big way. Because Indians by nature are outgoing type, they are enterprising, and Indian parents never hesitate to put in a little bit extra money when it comes to education of their children. And seeing in that context, I think the University of Malta's role and its access to Indian students becomes much more important, because I hesitated to say this, but it remains a fact that Malta was not a very well-known country in the parlance of Indian student community. But when I say this, I say this with hesitation, education. And I say this with a hope that trend will be reversed. And I also take this opportunity to mention that the role of the High Commissioner in the past 3 years has been tremendous, because I have been witness to this since I stay in Delhi, and I have a very privileged association with the High Commission. I know how things are moving, and I know how things are improving. And once this profile, as Anna was saying, the history and geography of Malta is known, and people develop a little more confidence, the confidence about the place and the fear of the unknown, as we call it, if that is removed, I am sure nobody has got any doubt about the quality of education and the quality of life that Malta and Malta University offers. I also agree, and I also mention it, that we have a common history, we have a common heritage, we have a common culture, and these commonalities could be our strength. And these commonalities could become the platform to catapult our relationship. And this delegation's visit will be a very, very important linking role in treading that path which we have in mind. And as part of this delegation, I'm very, very excited about it. There are 12 people this time. I'm sure many more will be next time. The university's programs are fantastic, and the only thing is that these programs are to be brought to the doorsteps of Indian students. In this context, Megha will take that point on, but since I have been a witness and part of some of these, I would briefly say that some of the initiatives which the High Commission has taken, and with the University of Malta and the marketing officer has taken, that will help the situation a great deal. I'm looking forward to with great excitement, and I wish Malta becomes not only a tourist destination for Indians, but also an educational destination.
Yes, I hope so, and I do imagine that there are aspects of Maltese life, Maltese way of life, which would be attractive to an Indian parents who are sending their sons and even their daughters, an environment that perhaps isn't a great metropolis.
Yes. So this is what we have seen, and this is what we are going to convey, that we have been here not for a long time, but for enough time to understand what the environment offers, the kind of, you know, the serenity and the kind of peace and tranquility that prevails here. I think that is the kind of environment which any Indian parent would look forward to for his sons and daughters. So I think it offers a perfect environment that one can look forward to.
In fact, in the beginning of in the introduction, I emphasized that, Megha, you were the university's marketing officer for the Indian region. And I think that shows just how serious the university is, really, in this endeavor. How has your job evolved?
Okay, I was appointed last year, and since then we've been undertaking a range of activities for the university in the India region. We are networking actively with the Indian education institutions, and we have this initiative called the Train the Trainer, wherein we conduct workshops and seminars for school teachers and principals by experts who are either from the University of Malta or they are local soft skill trainers. And for example, we conducted a session on six thinking hats last November with 25 school principals, and that was conducted by Dr. Sandra Dingley, who is the director of the Edward de Bono Institute. And this event was widely covered by the Indian media, both in print and electronic. This February, again, we conducted a session with 15 school teachers coming in for a session on how to make classrooms more effective. Now, this session was again conducted by a local soft skill trainer. Both these sessions happened at Alcon International School, whose principal, Mr. Pandey, is here with us, and they were a huge success. Another initiative that we've been taking is that we are organizing campus visits of the High Commissioner to the various educational institutions, wherein he personally visits these institutions. He gives a presentation on the destination Malta, which is very important for us, followed by a one-to-one interaction session with the students, So he's personally answering to the queries of the students about the place, about the education options, and that is creating a significant awareness about the destination amongst the Indian students. So, and besides these initiatives, we've been actively participating in educational fairs and forums in the Indian market. Now, as a result of all these initiatives, we managed to create a significant awareness about Malta as an emerging hub of education in Europe. And we really want to take this momentum ahead, and we were able to organize the delegation visit just because we gained that momentum after Dr. Sandra's visit and because of these initiatives.
In fact, I suppose there's really nothing that can replace the physical contact,
yes.
The
quite
personal
yes.
contact, the fact that the High Commission has taken a personal
yeah.
interest.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. If I allow me to come in. Yeah, it is very, very important, as you said, that somebody has to take the personal initiative. You know, besides things in the philosophical realm and besides things being on paper, I was talking to the High Commissioner the other day, and he himself mentioned it. And he said that it is not very difficult to have great ideas, but it may be difficult to execute those ideas, you see. And I'm just quoting him. So, as you mentioned in the beginning of your introduction, that right now probably it appears to be centered around Delhi and little vicinity. We call it Delhi and NCR, National Capital Region. But yes, these programs could be taken forward to some of the other metropolitan cities. India is a big country, as you know. And like Delhi, we have many other cities. It is there is Mumbai, there is Chennai, there is Kolkata. Well, in the West also, in all the four corners we have, and probably these programs, you know, initiatives of interacting with these students and teachers and the educationists in these cities as well, and it is going to make a huge impact. That's what I feel.
Certainly the potential for numbers is
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
It requires careful preparation, of course, definitely.
Yeah.
What subjects do you feel would be the most popular? What areas of study,
yes,
or are we talking
yes.
across the board?
Yeah, that's something very, very interesting. You know, India is again a very, very interesting place from this particular angle as well. You have cities, you have got towns, you've got villages, you've got remote areas, you see, and the aspirations of the parents in all these places differ from place to place, depending upon what kind of background the parents come from. If the parents come from the village, rural, or sub-cities or towns area, they would still feel that their sons and daughters should become either engineers or doctors. You see, you move on a little further, you'll find that no, there is a lot of scope in other areas of management, law, you know, humanities and things like that also. Things are changing, and the number of career options and number of professional options, more and more parents are exercising these options which are available. But by and large, I would still feel that any Indian parent, if they decide to send their children abroad, probably they will look forward to a profession which has instant guarantee of an employment.
And it would be nice, yes.
Yes.
And, would like that,
yeah,
I think.
And that instant guarantee would probably lie with some of the professional courses. And when I say professional courses, I don't mean only engineering and medicine. Even law is becoming very, very popular. Management courses, marketing, commercial art, information technology, you know, areas related with biology, which means microbiology, you know, the genetic engineering, biotechnology. So these are the areas which are now becoming more and more acceptable to the Indian parent.
Anna, we already do have some Indian students here. Where have they been studying? Do you remember where?
Mm-hmm. Off the top
faculties?
Of my head, mm-hmm. ICT.
ICT.
In the ICT area.
Yeah.
We actually have one in medicine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yes, they've been coming on in the ICT areas mostly.
Yeah.
So and in postgraduate, so they've been with us for a year or two maximum, except for the medicine he'll be with us for a long time still to come. But as I had said earlier, there weren't huge numbers coming in, but I've spoken to them and when they've been here, because it's been in my interest, of course, to find out exactly what they think about us. Mm-hmm. And I honestly can say that I haven't had any complaints about anything. Mm-hmm. It does take them about a month or so to settle in and get their feet, but that happens with all students. Mm-hmm. But the International Office has officers, you know, allocated to where we think students might have a bit more culture shock. So we've got Mega in India, placed there, trying not only to attract students and raise the awareness of the university, but also to help the students prepare. She helps them apply and prepare themselves and apply for visas and get all their bits together and, I don't know, maybe wardrobe consultant too, I don't know, but, you know, the various bits. And then we also have representatives in the office in Malta. We've got staff for various other areas where our students come from far, where we think it's going to be a bit traumatic for them for the first few weeks. And we've got an advisor for the Kuwaitis, an advisor for the Chinese, and also a welfare officer who generally takes care of all the other students. So we're set up in a way to try and, when the students reach us, we try and help them ease in. It's heartbreaking, you know, to see them homesick and wanting to go back home because they are so homesick. I had a student, he's actually Nigerian, so very far away from home, and he came into my office once every 2 weeks, you know, to update me how he was doing. Now he's really good. Mm-hmm. Now you wouldn't recognize him from the first few months, but he'd come in and say, oh, I miss my mother, and, you know, I wish to go home, and the food isn't that good over here. Of course, he doesn't know how to cook. that's why. So that's the whole idea, to try and ease the change in environment. Although there's similarities, of course, these students are coming from a very far away land.
In fact, when I give my little talk to for the orientation for international students, which I do every year, we talk about these cultural differences, which are sometimes they just need to be told about them,
so that they don't think it's only them thinking it. And
And one of the hidden, and why should I say hidden, one of the open proclaimed objectives of international education is this only, that we have to come from different backgrounds, we have to understand each other, appreciate each other, find the common ground and integrate with each other. That is what the world is going to be. So that's the whole idea.
In fact, I was going to ask Anna, really, because perhaps some of our listeners don't realize just how many international students we have on campus on a regular basis.
Well, we have around, the figure is about 800. Some of them come and go, and some of them come and stay for a long time. So we have about 78 nationalities. When I told someone that yesterday evening, they were like, 78 nationalities? You have to start thinking of countries to list to get that number. The whole idea, and it's been the university's plan for a long time, is internationalization. We're an island, and we're not on the continent. You can't cross a border and get into another country. So the idea is not only to send our students away, but also to bring students into our classrooms, bring lecturers and students to set this international arena, basically. Exactly. The students, some of them come on exchanges from near and far, so from Europe or from New Zealand, from Australia, from America. So they're here for a semester or two, and then they go back home. And then we also have those students who are here for a full course. They'll graduate with us, basically. So they're accepted as regular students here, and they do a full Bachelor of Commerce, Masters in ICT. So they might be here for 3 years, they might be here for five, or for even 2 years, depending on what they're studying. So we are setting ourselves up to try and make this transition. We have been set up for a while, but to make the transition easier. And this follows the university policy of not huge quantities. We are the University of Malta. We are the education centre for Maltese students, but we also want to have an international student body, and a healthy one too. So the idea is to have students from different areas, from different representations. So our students come from all over the globe, and that is what makes the university interesting and studying here interesting. So you might be in class and you might have an Indian student sitting next to you.
Yes.
You might have a Russian few chairs up, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing about it. Teaching in English is a plus, so that helps us. And now we are promoting ourselves actively in India, but not only, also in Turkey, in China, and we've also signed a few agreements, and we've got a few courses going with renowned universities in the US too. So we're not only working, for example, through single activities like having agents representing us in different countries, we're also doing collaborations, international joint master programs with well-known universities, so that we promote ourselves in that way too. And also there's the research that's happening on an international basis. That's students come here and do research. We had a student actually who came and spent 3 months with us. I forget where she was from.
She was from Chennai.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she was here for a short period of time, and yes, I count her too, although she was here for a short period of time, but she was doing research in the science faculty, so that was very good too.
Well, certainly the internationalization, the international input
yes.
can only be of benefit to our own students. So this is a reciprocal thing that benefits both sides, and it's a win-win situation.
In fact, with regards to India, the plan is to keep on what we're doing and increasing activities. The idea of having a local working for us there is good, because we don't always understand the way the Indians might think, or they might not understand the way we behave, and that's good to have someone who can translate
from amongst them.
Yes, exactly. So that helps very much to increase the ties that way.
Well, we've run out of time. I'd like to thank Mr. Ashok Pandey.
Thank you, and
for coming on the program
on behalf of the delegation,
and Megha Srivastava.
Thank you so much,
and Anna Kallius.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you
thank
so
you,
much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's program. I do hope you can join us again next week for another in the series University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.